Fabius the Cunning. This is a short background to the great consul during the Second Punic War for Rome, Quintus Fabius, who we know today as Fabius Maximus or Fabius the Great. He's also called Fabius the Cunning. And the situation that brings Fabius in the power is this. The Romans had lost several battles in the northern part of Italy as Hannibal had arrived over the Alps and had taken a crushing defeat at the Battle of Lake Trasimene. And all of Rome was scared to death as to what to do, and so they quickly, as they have done in the past, invoke the dictatorship piece of their government. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with that particular part of it, I would suggest to go to the archives and look up the Cincinnatus article that I did, because that's an explanation as to what the dictator is and how it is supposed to function. But in any case, very, very briefly, the Roman Senate selects a member of the patrician class to rule for maximum of 6 months or less, which is the duration. Hopefully it's the duration, it will be short, so that he can muster all the forces, because the Romans recognized that Hannibal was something different than they had dealt with before, and that's an understatement, because he's probably the greatest foe they will ever face in their entire history. What Fabius did immediately was completely revamp everything. He came to the conclusion that none of the existing generals had the capabilities of dealing with Hannibal. So he institutes what we call Fabian tactics, and that is, they will allow Hannibal to maneuver all he wants to through the area, through Italy. They will follow him. They will harass him. But if he draws up for standard combat, they will withdraw. In the meantime, they will then go to the Alps and cut off his supply lines, begin reforming new legions, and continue to harass him under the belief that their allies in Italy will remain steadfast to the Romans, that Hannibal has a finite number of men, he's not going to get any more reinforcements, he's going to have to live off the land. And it's brilliant. The only trouble is, his opponent knows Fabius's fatal flaw, and it isn't his strategy, it's the people supporting him. So what Hannibal does is he realizes that what he needs to do is to get Fabius out as dictator. In order to do that, he's going to have to whittle away Fabius' support in the Senate. So what Hannibal begins to do, he begins to move his army from one senator's estate to another senator's estate, devastating the land, destroying the crops, burning the houses. In other words, he's destroying the economic base of the Senate, knowing full well that is going to eventually be the pressure that's going to either two things will happen. Either it'll force Fabius to come out and fight, or they'll remove Fabius and get somebody who will come out to fight. Now, some people at this point will say, and I've had students in class say, well, how in the world does Hannibal know the list of senators? Please, it's pretty common knowledge. It would be one of those incidents that his spies could get a copy of the censor's list. Everyone knew who the Senate was. They're very well known. They're the wealthiest people in Roman Empire. And Hannibal was superb at getting that kind of information. As a matter of fact, Hannibal was one of the first generals in all of history to spend money trying to find out the personality of his opponent, and would make adjustments in his tactics based upon that person's perceived proclivities. A good example of that is at Lake Trasimene. He knew that the general sent to attack him was very aggressive, and so he set a trap and allowed the man to be aggressive to death, so to speak. And in the end, the uproar in the city of Rome, the uproar in the Senate over this devastation being caused by Hannibal will indeed caused the Senate to not renew Fabius at the end of his term, and will replace him with two consuls, Consul Paulus and Consul Varro. One of them is a supporter of Fabius, And the other one is a supporter, a man of action. And you get the unusual situation. And remember, this is the Roman army, Second Punic War, which means the only people who can command the total army are the consuls. And when you have a giant army like they are going to put together, what will happen is they'll take turns. Varro will have it for one day, and Paulus will have it for the other. And it doesn't take long to realize, for Hannibal to realize who is in charge, how they react. And what he will then do is plan the greatest catastrophe in the history of the Roman army, which is the Battle of Cannae. But in the end, of course, the second, and that's of course another very interesting podcast that I'll do later. If I start on the Punic Wars, we'll be here for hours. Okay. Let me get back to Fabius and what happens to him. To make a long war short, of course, the Romans eventually do win, and Fabius is again given the title of dictator after this major catastrophe, and no one questions him at any other time. When the war is over, Fabius is granted one of the ultimates in Roman society. He is granted the title of Maximus, which means great. Now, we have two people, we have several people receiving titles. The other person that you should be familiar with is Scipio Africanus, the general who defeats Hannibal at the Battle of Zama. But you see, Africanus is the title that's given to him by the Roman Senate, but it is only for him. So the title for Scipio dies when he does. When the Senate grants a man the title Maximus, that is for the eternity of the lineage of the family. So there is no doubt who is related to Fabius, because everyone in his family will have Maximus behind their name and the tremendous honor that that bestows. As far as books, anything on the second Punic War. You can read Livy, his account of the Second Punic War. There are several new books on just the Second Punic War itself. I particularly like the old 1920s historian Harold Lamb's book Hannibal, because it's like you're riding with Hannibal. It's historically accurate and correct, but it's like reading a novel to some extent, like you're saddled up with him. And he talks about the experiences with Fabius. If you're looking for books on Fabius, well, there's one called The Consul Fabius Maximus by Rijn. That's spelled R-I-J-N. And then you can always go to Plutarch, good old ancient historian Plutarch. He wrote The Lives of Pericles, Fabius Maximus, Demosthenes, and Cicero. So you can find that in a couple of places. So thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed Fabius. And we'll do some other Second Punic War stuff at another time. Thank you for stopping by and sending your comments. I am inspired to keep working hard and continue doing this until I run out of breath, I guess. Thank you very much.